97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I steadfastly refuse all proposals. Even worse, at the exact same time, it murdered six of our hostages. Whoever murders hostages does not want a deal.
Yeah, that is an interpreter there covering Benjamin Netanyahu's address to the nation of Israel, where protests have broken out on the streets over there with a percentage of the population at least demanding some sort of an immediate ceasefire after the death of the five or six hostages that were announced, I believe, Friday is when we heard about that. Let's get to Mark Meredith, of course. He's a Fox News reporter. He's been at the White House all morning talking about the Biden administration's approach to all this. Mark, welcome in.
Mark, good to be with you. You're right. I mean, as we start this week, obviously it's a solemn note because they're having to come to the reality of these six hostages that were executed last week. Of course, that's just learning the details, including the American, the 23-year-old. And the White House has come out with a pretty strong statement saying they're outraged by this. They're devastated because they've been working to secure this man's release now for, what is it, 10 months, almost 11 months now. And you can imagine that the just outrage over the barbarity of the execution has gotten. But of course, there's also been a focus on what's next. The White House has been trying to say that they are still working with the U.S., working with Qatar and Egypt to secure some sort of peace deal going forward. But you have to wonder, Mark, at this point, you know, how quickly is that really going to happen, given some of the comments of the last 24 hours?
I just wonder what else the U.S. expects out of Benjamin Netanyahu. In his speech, he said, We've come to the table. We've agreed to the terms of the ceasefire. It's Hamas who won't agree to anything. They won't even come to the table. Why is Benjamin Netanyahu being blamed for this?
Well, you've also seen some of the outrage in Israel, too, where they've been upset with Netanyahu as well. So I would imagine that it's kind of reactionary to both what's happening here in the United States, but also in Israel. As to, you know, Netanyahu has certainly had an interesting relationship with the Biden administration. Yes, in the immediate aftermath of the attacks, we saw the president make it very clear that the U.S. has no closer ally, that they were going to do whatever they can. But since then, as Israel's retaliated, we have, of course, seen the White House try to walk a fine line of what is support and what they think is acceptable and what is not. In terms of a peace deal, though, the president was asked yesterday, you know, is Netanyahu doing enough? Do you think that Netanyahu is working hard enough to secure peace? And the president said no, and then he moved on. He didn't really elaborate further from there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw a poll that 49% of Israelis support Netanyahu, 43% don't. I mean, he's been sort of on the cusp of being thrown out of office there several times, but he's managed to hang on to power. And in light of what the threat Hamas poses, like my co-anchor Kim was saying here earlier, isn't the hang up with Hamas the fact that they demand all of these Palestinians be released from Israeli jails? Is that sort of the key here, Mark? Do you know?
That is one of the hangups. Yes, that is one of the demands that Hamas would have. Essentially, you kind of think of it as an exchange, if you will, for those hostages that are still in custody of Hamas. You know, they're just going to say, well, we'll give you this for that. The U.S. obviously is really trying to find a way just to prevent further bloodshed. I mean, you talk about how many tens of thousands of lives have been disrupted ever since the violence of October 7th. The Israelis are saying, you know, we can't make a deal because we don't necessarily trust what's going to come next. And so the U.S. is hoping, by relying on our Mideast allies, that maybe they'd be able to hold together some sort of framework for a deal, because the U.S. doing it alone is clearly not going to work.
I know the International Criminal Court was accusing Netanyahu of war crimes because of his response to the attack on October 7th. Do you know any update to that by chance?
I don't. And the ICC obviously doesn't have as much weight here in the United States.
Right.
I mean, there's been, it's one of those things where I feel like it's a headline that's made and then people just simply move on. And just in terms of the way that the ICC would not be recognized by the U.S. at this point. But obviously the White House has made it very clear that they would like to see Israel be able to defend itself, that they are going to do what they can to support them, prevent future terrorist attacks, because they see Hamas as the terrorist organization. But in terms of the way those retaliatory attacks are carried out. That's what seems to get the White House really riled up. They want to make sure that any civilian casualties are limited to the fullest extent possible, whereas the Israelis have said, we want to limit civilian casualties, but Hamas has left us very few options.
Yeah. So, Mark, has there been any separation here between the Harris campaign and the Biden White House? I mean, are they trying to stay away from each other on this, or has Harris had any comment on this? Do you know?
You bring up a good point. Harris was here at the White House yesterday. She was in the same meeting that the president had with his national security team. There was a progressive Democrat, Ro Khanna, congressman out of California, who said over the weekend that he believes that Harris will be looking for a new path forward. Now, whether or not that's really Khanna speaking on behalf of the campaign or more of just kind of reading tea leaves, we don't really know. But she has not had to answer a lot of questions about what she would do in the Middle East. I was with her in Savannah over this past week, and she was down in Georgia, and she was interrupted twice by protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters, and she addressed them. To her credit, she stops her speech and says, look, we're trying to make a deal. We're trying to end the bloodshed. But in terms of specifics, is if Biden does this, would she say this? No, we haven't really gotten there.
Well, maybe she'll just put her little earbuds in, and then everyone knows they can't ask her a question, right? Because certainly she can't even hear them.
There was some hubbub about some video of her getting on Air Force Two the other day with the old wired Apple AirPods in. I don't know what she was listening to
with her phone up to her ear. So she had earbuds in with her phone up to her ear. And we all know the White House could afford to give her some AirPods. But the problem with that is that then no one would see that she has them in. It wouldn't be as obvious. And then it's not as excusable that she couldn't hear her questions being asked.
I could also argue, and I don't know this for sure, I'm just completely speculating here, is that there could be a reason for using the wired headphones. It could also be a security feature. When you're doing wireless, you know, obviously it's easier for that signal to get picked up. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just saying that if I could see that also being a possibility. Remember when President Obama, in fact, we're showing the photo on our TV right now. Remember when President Obama first got like his iPhone, they had to like disable the camera. It's not quite the same smartphone device that we all have. And that is a good question for Harris, but yeah. I can't imagine we're going to get an answer anytime soon.
That's a great point, Mark. I'm glad, because I had not even thought about the fact that it might be a security issue. All right.
Yeah, it's possible, especially when you're transmitting. I mean, anything that's being put out there. Yes, where she is already secure. It's not like people will just pick up random AirPod signals. But, again, there usually are safeguards in place for this kind of stuff.
Mark Meredith, I appreciate you giving me some time from the White House today, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Give my best to everybody else back in St. Louis.
Yeah, we sure will. Appreciate that. Mark Meredith there and reporting from the White House lawn this morning.
Let's take bets on what we think Kamala Harris was listening to. Which one of Taylor Swift's songs do you think she was jamming out to?
It was Sammy Hagar.
Oh, you're right. I bet you Kamala Harris is a big Sammy Hagar fan.
She's from California.
It could have been. Mm-hmm. I guess that's possible. Or ELO, one of the two. What do you think it was?
How ELO's to give a British speech 101? maybe it was a podcast, how to be unburdened by what has been.
Maybe it was Monica Lewinsky's TED Talk that she was listening to, you think? I mean, it's possible. She needs some motivation.
How
to get to the Oval Office is specifically what that podcast
is about.
How
to have a fake Southern accent. Right in. What do you think Kamala Harris was listening to? Or was it absolutely nothing and it was just all...
It was no
dog
white
and,
noise.
A dog and pony show. A
it
lot of that,
white
yeah.
Noise.
Get more at 971talk.com.